KA2VLA, this is KD2AIT. You copy, Clint? Well, we might be watching the games tonight, but let's give another shout out here. KA2VLA, this is KD2AIT. Do you copy? Alright. One more time there, Clint. If you don't come back, I'll start the net. KD2AIT. Good evening, this is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Jeff. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boomer Amateur Radio Club repeater on frequency 146.655 MHz. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times and can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
KC2WI.
KC2WI, Pete, good evening. What's going on tonight?
Well, I spent a lot of time this afternoon out at a business working on the phone system, you know, trying to find out what has been done over the years, and I never quite got it. I was close. And in the process of troubleshooting, I was measuring the polarity, and I found that one of the two lines was backwards, and one was not, and it took me a long time to trace it out, and I had to quit, basically. They all want to go home at the end of the day, so I got things sort of working the way they were, but not really straightened out. And so something was wired backwards, but the other thing that I will say is my fault. I never realized this. An RJ11 or an RJ14 one or two wire phone jack, there's a standard, the old color code standard was green and red for tip and ring one, and black and yellow for tip and ring two. And I always knew that. Now the popular thing now is to basically use Cat 5 for every, and of course it's different colors, but what I never realized is that apparently, how shall I say this, the cables, pads, we'll call them patch cables, cable that goes between the wall and your phone, essentially, is a crossover cable. And so that what that means is that the connector that's in the in a telephone is also backwards, it crosses back. So it's like in the old days of serial ports, where you were connecting a PC to a modem, or a PC to a PC, and a computer was actually considered to be data terminal equipment, and because it was assuming you were connecting it to a mainframe or something, which was the data communications equipment. Anyway, never realized that. And so that added to the confusion, because the way they had this set up was they had the lines from the phone company, from the central office, coming in, terminated into two modular wall jacks, basically, and then two other modular wall jacks going to the rest of the system. And one pair of, and so in the modular wall jacks that go to the rest of the system, if you use a standard connector cable, jumper cable, you got to reverse the polarity when you make the connections. In other words, red goes to green and green goes to red to go back to make everything right. Oh, well, one of them, and then, of course, black and yellow, same way. One of them they had right, and one of them they had wrong. So it was sort of like errors on top of errors. Well, now I know that, but I probably would have never known that until I, unless I got the check in polarities, because one of the lines wasn't working right anyway. So, very frustrating afternoon. I guess, you know, on the job learning or something. KC2WI.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when you never even think about those things, you know, and then all of a sudden when you got to dig into a system, you start figuring all that, all those little nuances out. You got anything planned here for the weekend? Are you going up in the Adirondacks or anything?
I went up yesterday. No, I went up Wednesday, late Wednesday to a snowmobile club meeting. I stayed there yesterday, and, well, I pretty much, I didn't really do any recreating. I mean, it was nice being out, but I put up some storm windows and bailed the boats out and, you know, that kind of stuff, and came back, did a couple things this morning and came back and worked in Boonville. So tomorrow morning I'll go to the Branningham Snowmobile Club meeting, and then this is the fall Black Moose, you know, canoe, kayak, paddle, whatever weekend there in Port Lytton. So Saturday night, they have people camping at the town park there, Riverside Park. And Saturday night, I guess they have a big, you know, like a big campfire, bonfire, and I'm not sure if they're going to have any music or entertainment or anything, but they also sort of encourage the, you know, not only the kayakers who might come into town, but just, you know, come on over. And so probably that's what I'll do Saturday night. Sunday morning I'll get on HF, and I don't know whether or not, but I may get back down to this business or open for a little while. I'm going to call and find out sometime when I can go after hours, because it's awful hard trying to work around things and keep the at least some phones operating, you know, while you're trying to troubleshoot everything. It's sort of like one hand tied behind your back, so don't know about that, when I'll do that, but pretty soon I'll get that done. KC2WI.
Okay, Pete, before I start the, before I do another call here for the net, you wouldn't happen to know if the Remsen repeater is down or not. I haven't been able to hit it since I've been up here at camp, and usually I can hit it here with 5 watts, no problem. I can't even get it on high power.
I don't know, because I took my radio and all out of the car because it wasn't, I didn't thought something was wrong with it. And I, when I dropped the car off for work, I never got around to fixing it. So normally I'd probably have been not trying it on the way home, but I have no idea. I can't hit it from here. I don't know. I don't know about Fort Light. I guess the answer is I don't know. So maybe if you're, on when somebody comes in from Octane there, you could ask the question. KC2WI.
Okay. That's I didn't know if you knew or not, and it just seems strange. But there's been a weird propagation here the last couple nights. Everybody's been kind of commenting on it about some signals are not as strong as they normally are, and then you're also getting transmissions coming in, repeaters stepping on each other and everything. But all right. Thanks for the check-in, Pete, and I'll talk to you. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you later. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. Are there any other check-ins?
KA2RZ, and the 5P3 is off.
Okay, Jack, I figured you would know, if anybody would know. Up here at camp, I can't get to any real information on what's going on with the game tonight. So if you would happen to know, let me know. And what's going on with you tonight, Jack?
Well, I was just kind of half watching the game. I'm not much for the National League. I don't follow them that close. But, you've got St. Louis and the Dodgers. And second inning is 0-0. So, yeah, it's bottom of the second. And 0-0 Los Angeles Dodgers and St. Louis, in St. Louis. And then tomorrow night you got the Dodgers at Boston. So, little activity anyways. I follow that one because I follow Boston, as you know. So, anyways, other than that, not too much exciting today. My wife had a doctor's appointment, so we took care of that. And we did a few other things. And let's see, we're 48.6 at the moment, 48.6. We were supposed to get a little warmer today than we actually did. We didn't get any sunshine at all, I think. Probably that's why. So, I think we got probably in the low 60s. I didn't really check my high-low here. So, 7-3s all around. I had a peak there. I don't know whether it was anybody else or not. I just came in the middle of K2000.
Okay, Jack, and thanks for the info there on the Rapster repeater. I'm glad it's not me. But I can't hit the, usually I can hit that Syracuse repeater, the 300 there, but I can't hit that tonight either. I don't think that's down, I just not getting to it. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. As far as temperature here, we had a warm day today. It was, wasn't very sunny. There were some, you know, moments, but we had a high of 73, which is pretty high up here at camp. And we had a low of 43, which is actually not as cold as I thought it was going to be. And right now, what is it? It's 47 here, so we're right on par with you over there. And you have a good evening, and we'll probably see you here later on the, or you or Mark, later on Octane. All right, this is KD2AIT, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins.
KD2DXJ.
KD2DXJ. I'm up at camp, so I don't have my list with me or my computer in front of me, so I can't cheat. But boy, that call song sounds familiar. I'm sorry if we talked before, I forgot your handle. But this is KD2AAT. My handle here is Jeff. And good evening. What's going on?
Good evening, Jeff. This is Bill in Governor. It's 42 degrees here. And not too much going on. Tomorrow I'll be going up to Fine, help Kerry and some other people there. We're going to do some finishing touches on that repeater tower. About a month ago we poured the concrete and they put the tower up the other day. And so it's been a big improvement and I'm going to be doing that. So have a great evening. KD2DXJ.
Ah, okay, now I remember you. Okay. What's the frequency and PL of that repeater up in Fine?
I only got it in at Fine, and I can't actually tell you until I get my book out and look the frequency up, but it's, I don't want to say.
Okay, that's understandable. I do the same thing sometimes in my portable rig at the house. I have everything kind of just in there with text. We used to get somebody from Fine there on the net all the time. What was his name now? See, when I'm at camp, I'm almost like I'm blind up here. I don't have all my information in front of me. Was it Jack or Bill? I can't remember his name, but he always checked in from Fine. Sometimes his wife checked in too.
Chuck.
Chuck, yes, thank you, Jack.
I was going to say, Charlie's he goes by, and his wife is Brenda.
Roger that, Pete. Pete, you wouldn't happen to know what that frequency is, would you?
What frequency?
For the Fine repeater.
I'm trying to find it here in my book. My book might not be new enough. KD2000.
I've been in this short time, and I went and programmed everything in by names instead of frequency, so I know everything by the name, but I'm not good with the frequency. But Charlie and Brenda, are they live right up next to the repeater, so that's the ones that were on there a lot.
Okay. Somebody stepped on you there. I don't know if it was Pete, or whoever it was that stepped in on the first half of that conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was me. What I said was, I had to look up the PL because I don't remember it. That's new. That's, the repeater is WA2NAN, Kerry, and the OVARC, Oxford Gotcha Valley Amateur Radio Club, 147.135, and you know what? I know he put a PL on it, and I don't have it on my, I thought I updated my NNYARA. I think it's 151.4, but I don't remember for sure.
You said it's 147.135?
147.135, and I'm almost positive the PL is 151.4. I'm going to have to, they just put that on. And they've just put up a new, where they poured the concrete for a new tilt-over tower that they got, and it's going to be, I don't know, quite a bit, 20, 30 feet higher. But I think they're still waiting for the concrete to dry is not the right word. You know, I got to wait 4 weeks or something. I'll see if I can find that PL.
Roger. Bill was just saying they're heading up there tomorrow, I guess, to do some work out there. I'm assuming the pad must be cured by now if they're going to be doing that. That'd be interesting because I know, we're always, Chuck's always checking in, so it'd be interesting to see if I can hit that repeater. Maybe not from here, but maybe from the house. We'll see. All right. If anybody comes up with that information, let me know, and I'm going to continue with the net. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins. Well, as for myself, let's see, we got up this morning here. We were up late last night, putting around camp, and, there's a lot of little small projects around here, nothing heavy, but a lot of things I got to get done, and I must have been up to about 1:30 in the morning getting some stuff done up here. And we got up this morning, my wife had stopped up, dropped me off some of the stuff I had forgot to bring up here, some food mostly. I didn't bring anything for lunch. I brought a couple things for dinner, and I didn't bring anything for lunch. So she stopped up here with my daughter, and we had a good time. And I took her took Addie there, my daughter Adeline there. We took her on the four-wheeler for a little while. And then I had a bunch of other projects to get done outside. I had my grandfather there, WA2LK. I have his old 44 carbine that we hunt with up here. And, just a couple weeks ago, I commented how well the site, there's a custom site on a peep site, how well it has held up over the years. He had it put on back in the 60s, and it held up so well. Every time I go to site it in the fall, I don't have to do anything to it. It's fine, and it's always right on the money. And wouldn't you know it, I took it out of the case, and the rear sight was loose and wobbling from side to side. So one of the projects today was to get my stand out and where I can mount the rifle on and keep it steady and sight it in. All that I do is push it to the left and screw it down, push the sight to the left and screw it down. And I was hitting the bullseye from 7,500 yards, just with the peep sight. So I was pretty happy about that. Got the woodshed. I had to do some work on the woodshed here. We had I had to cut up some kindling. I had a bunch of scrap wood here, but I had to bust it all up and get that set. And at some point it's going to snow here, and it'll be too late at that point to bring anything in. And then I took the dog out. We went. We did some bird hunting, and teaching him. He's not really a bird dog, but all I need to do is teach him how to run up alongside the pass that I'm going. He's such a, I've trained him over the years to stay on whatever path we're on and not go wandering out in the woods, and I'm kind of have to break that from him now so he can go out in the woods a little ways anyway and start trying to flush some stuff. than that, we're going to do a little hunting tomorrow after we get up, and then we got to get packed up and get back to the house. Got to work on Sunday. So, all right, this is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time?
KC2WI.
Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, the PL is 151.4.
Roger that, 151.4. Well, we'll get that plugged in here. We got it written down up here at camp, and we'll send myself a message at the house, and we'll try it from both areas. You never know. Sometimes it's pretty amazing some of the stuff I can hit from up here, like that Long Lake repeater that I get up here, and a couple other, the Blue Mountain Lake there, one that I get. So you never know. We'll give it a shot from up here, too. Thanks, Pete. Are there any other comments, queries, or late check-ins? And this will be the final call for the Black River Valley Service Net. This is KD2AIT. Okay, hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley Service Net. Return this frequency to regular amateur use. So I'd like to thank Pete, Jack, and Bill for checking in tonight, and say 73 to anyone who may be listening in. This is KD2AIT. Clear.
KB2KOJ for Octon. The United County Traffic and Emergency Net. Octon currently being held on the 14517. Are there any stations with or without traffic?
This is KD2AIT. Good evening, Mark. No traffic.
This is N2WBX. Good evening. No traffic.
This is KC2WI, no traffic.
Okay, very good. We have KD2AIT, Jeff, N2WBX, Dennis, and KC2WIP. Thank you for checking in. Pete, I can actually give you a copy of the Octon report here, so please stand by. I can pass you a piece of traffic. Are there any other stations before I pass a piece of traffic? This is KB2KOJ for Octon. Okay, KC2WI, ready to copy a piece of traffic?
KC2WI, ready to copy.
Okay, this is the Octon report that we send in every month here. Jack and I send in to the ARRL here, and I think I passed you one before here, so please copy number 355, routine. KA2ZNZ10, Liverpool, New York, October 1. Going to Pete. KC2WI, break. September Octon report. Stations, figures 849. I say again, stations 849. Traffic 229. Sessions 30. 73 Blake Mark, KB2KOJ, Assistant Net Manager Octon. End of traffic. How'd you do, Pete?
Well, I got it scribbly a little bit. I'm not I don't do it enough to write fast enough, but I got it.
Is there anything you want me to need? You need any fills or anything?
Oh, I got it all, but it was a lot of abbreviation in there. KC2WI.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for supporting the Octon here, and we like to pass them on the satellites here now, too, that we check, so. Alrighty, very good. Are there any other, and thanks, Pete, for coming in. Are there any other stations for Octon?
KJ2Q, no traffic over.
KJ2Q, Jeff. John. Thank you for checking in. John, did you copy the piece of traffic that I sent Pete?
Sam, this is KJ2QY. Just give me a number, over.
Okay, yours would be number 356.
Roger, 356, KJ2Q. Thank you, over.
You're very welcome, and thank you for supporting that time. Much appreciated. Okay, there's a couple more. Anyone else for ACON? Okay, nothing else there. I want to thank everyone for checking in. Do appreciate it. And we'll say 7-3 to all. Check-ins are much appreciated. 7-3 to all. KB2KOJ is correct.
KB2AIT, KC2WI.
KD2AIT.
You wouldn't by any chance have any punch-down tools. I'm particularly looking for the Type 66, which is really the telephone block. I want to, because the place where I'm going to do this, they've got a block in there I could use. I've kind of kludged it before with pliers and that, but it really doesn't work. I'd like to borrow one, but I want to buy. I bid on one on eBay and I missed it, but I want to get the 66 and 100 or 110 punched out tools for the next time I got to do some more than real simple phone or network wiring.
Yeah, I don't have anything like that. I should probably get stuff like that, but I don't have it. I don't do anything to crimp Cat 5, so. No, sorry. If I did, I'd let you have it.
Yeah, I've got crimpers. I bought a real cheap pair of, non-ratcheting, simple Cat 5, RJ45 crimpers. I don't know, 12 years ago or something, and you know what? People say, oh, you got to get, the calibrated ones. And all that. These things work great. I've never had a, the only time I've had a problem is when I didn't get the wires in straight. And they were, not the $50 crimper, they were the $10 ones.
Roger that. I can tell you, I've had many times I wish I had the Cat 5, creppers because there's been many times I've had to run wire and I just get to the end and I'm like, you know what, I gotta do a splice here or something, and or come to the end and I realize I got a broken end and I gotta put a new one on. I'm like, I just don't have one. So the biggest problem with me is that I'm colorblind, so seeing the difference between red and green wires is a big deal.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want to borrow mine, just let me know. Big problem with Cat 5, why they did... Now, I don't get this at all. First of all, you don't put in the pairs in order. It's not one pair, the next pair, the next pair, the next pair. It's the first pair, and then one wire of the second, and one wire of the third, and then the other wire of the second, the other wire of the third, and then the last pair. Which makes it really a lot harder to get the things in without the wires crossing back over. And I don't see where there's no gain there as far as noise immunity between the pairs. I don't understand the logic of it. And if that's not bad enough, there's two standards. There's the A or whatever it is. I can't remember the numbers. A and B. I think it's A and B. One is supposedly for, I just was reading this when I was looking at the phone stuff, because they got it kind of all in the same group. One was designated for, like, residential, and the other is for office. What's the difference, LAN is LAN. I just always use one. I pick one, and I always use it in any cables that I ever make or anything I ever wire up. And it really doesn't matter the color coding in the wires as long as, the at each end the terminals are connected properly. But yeah, I could see if you can't determine the colors too easily, boy, that's tough. People do put them in where they just put the one pair, next pair, next pair, next pair, but that's not what you're supposed to do. If you do it the wrong way in a short little patch cable, it probably will work, but you're not using a pair. You're not using a twisted pair, and your noise immunity goes down, and the speed will go down real fast. So you kind of have to do that. But you know, if you're making a patch cable, it really doesn't make any difference for your own use how you do it, as long as you do, you know, the first pair, the first wire of the second pair, and the first wire of the third pair, and then the second wire of the second pair, the second wire of the third pair, and the fourth pair. You know, in other words, you're keeping the send and receive both each on a twisted pair. So I guess you're okay. It's just if you're trying to do it in the wall or something, where or you're trying to, you know, replace something, then that's where it gets tough. KC2WI.
Roger, that's why a lot of my equipment I just went with wireless because I knew there was no point in even trying to you know, do it and have it you know, like you were saying, not have it degrade speed and everything. For example, the only thing I got wired right now is my DirecTV box, because I have a 50-foot cable. It seems to be working okay, so I ran that, you know, to the router. But like my Xbox, I have that with a wireless, you know, a Cat 5, what do they call it there, at the end there, plugs in and then goes to the wireless, and then I can plug it anywhere in the house. And for some reason, they charge like $50 for one of those things, which is ridiculous. It should be about a $15 item, but they know they got people, you know. When you're buying that, you have to have it, so they know there's a little bit of pain pricing in there. But anyway, I mean, when it comes to a lot of that stuff, as long as it's not, you know, mission critical as far as the speed goes, I just tend to go wireless.
You know, if you're close together, especially in a wooden house and that kind of stuff, it's usually okay. And you know, realistically speaking, I don't know what you're, you know, but if you have a DSL, it doesn't make any difference, because even the old, you know, wireless B is faster than 3 meg DSL, unless you're trying to have 50 things on the wireless, you know, at once. So, you know, it probably doesn't matter. Even on Roadrunner, if you have a 10 meg wireless, you know, you may have 20 megs on Roadrunner, but you may have 10. It just depends on the time of day and how many kids are playing their games online.
Roger, when I play games online, I have very very low latency. Excuse me. But that's when usually, actually, when you're gaming, that's when you notice any kind of any lag or anything like that. You notice it because it affects your gameplay. And ever since I connected the Xbox to the wireless interface there on the end, you know, the wireless client, I guess you call it, on the end there, the gaming's been completely smooth when I do play, which is not very often anymore, but from time to time I get to play online a little bit. But honestly, I mean, I know you can't do it with the phone lines and stuff, but when it comes to networking up a single, you know, individual building, I fail to see, you know, why you should retrofit anything. Just throw in some wireless stuff and be done with it.
You know, if the cabling is there and all, I still think it's really good. But if you're trying to pull lots of cables through walls and stuff, then wireless works pretty good.
Roger that. Well, hopefully I won't have to deal with it all that much. Very rare we get a new piece of equipment like that that doesn't come with a wireless already installed. So, but even now, like the new DirecTV receivers come already with it plugged in. I know my TV, when I bought the new comes already with wireless already built into it. You know, you hang the thing up on the wall and it can connect to YouTube automatically. You know, you can watch movies right from there, right from the internet. It's so much simpler, especially simpler for people that aren't, you know, tech savvy.
Yeah, well, the problem is your TV is not necessarily where your router or whatever comes out. I mean, I guess maybe if your TV is hooked to a Roadrunner, that may be where the cable comes out, you know. May not, because it may be coming out of some other TV. But you can't really assume that it always is. I know I did one like that. They had they put in a Roku. You know, and actually the cable came out I don't know. They must have had a splitter, I guess. But the cable modem was over by the computer, which was not by the TV.
Roger, what I mean is the TV has built-in wireless already, so you don't even have to worry about wiring it. It has both, actually. If it has a jack there where you can plug in the Cat5 cable if you have to, but you put it up on the wall, it's wireless ready already.
So has it got it built in everything? Like I have, mine's not wireless. I have a Sony, it's a DVD player, you know, Blu-ray, DVD, whatever. And it's not wireless. I got to plug it into the network. But, you know, I watch Netflix on it and Amazon Prime, so I can watch Amazon, you know, and all that other stuff. So I think in most TVs now, they got the same thing. It's all built in. If you're a Netflix subscriber, how do you do this? I guess there's a code, you know, a serial number or something on the TV or whatever it is, and you get on a computer somewhere and you log into your Netflix or Hulu or whatever account, and you say, I want to register this device, and then, of course, then it recognizes your TV is allowed to receive Netflix or whatever.
Yep, that's exactly how it works. You say, usually you just punch in the Netflix there on the TV. You know, you enter your account information or whatever, and then I'm trying to remember. It'll say, you know, at one end, whether it's the computer or the TV end, it'll say, this is the code you got to punch in on the other end. You punch it in, and all of a sudden that device is registered, and at that point you can get any Netflix movies you want or whatever other service it is, you know. And the TV pretty much handles it all. I also have, I'm trying to remember what the brand is of that TV. I can't remember it now. Stunning, absolutely stunning picture. But the Blu-ray receiver is also from the same manufacturer, or the Blu-ray player, and that connects wirelessly right to the TV. And it's amazing how quick it all integrates together. Even the sound system, which is also from the same manufacturer, connects right in, and you can quickly just click on the home theater system, and you got surround sound and all that, and all comes together. And I was a little skeptical because I didn't want to spend all that money on it, but I was really glad I did once. I had done a lot of research on it, and the TV is crystal clear, especially a 1080. It's crystal clear when you got, a 1080 signal coming in. And when you play the Blu-ray, when you got something that was actually filmed, meant to be, played in HD, and it's on a Blu-ray, it's just absolutely incredible. The way the picture comes out. Now you see a lot of these, you can get like a movie like Rocky or something that was filmed in the 70s, they say it's HD, but it's really not. You know, they just remastered it in HD, but it's nowhere near like as crisp as you see like these new movies, and especially like the kids' cartoons and stuff. When it comes through on there, it's like you feel like you can just reach in there and touch them. And plus the TV is also 3D ready, so you can watch all these movies in 3D, and they jump out on the screen at you and everything. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well,
My TV is a 1987 vintage sharp old-fashioned CRT with doesn't even have a, it has a, it doesn't have any kind of audio-video inputs, you know, it doesn't have a remote. It is not, it's sort of cable, but it really isn't a full cable tuner. I use my Sony VCR that has a remote to, for flipping channels. I only got basic cable. And, of course, the Sony, and then I have a Sony a DVD player. I've never put a Blu-ray disc in it. Wouldn't make any difference on the thing I got anyway. But I don't know. One of these days I'll probably, you know, I'm kind of waiting for the thing to quit on me so I have an excuse to go buy a new TV. But for the little bit I watch it, you know, it would be nicer, I guess. But it isn't, you know, I'm not going to do it. Maybe sometime this winter after Christmas sales or something. Get a little bit bigger one and, like you say, hang it on the wall. That, I kind of like that idea. Get it, get the, you know, get the space. Then I'd have to move the chair closer to the wall, I guess, because it'd be a bigger TV. And this one's kind of out. But, so you can tell how much interest I have in the TV. But, you know, actually, you don't want a real huge screen. They're not all that terribly expensive.
Now, if you don't watch a lot of TV, you shouldn't spend a lot of money on it, in my opinion, anyway. But you know, they come with and also you gotta, you can find it online, but you gotta have the right formula depending on the size of the room you're in. You can get too big of a screen, especially nowadays where the prices have come down, but you can get a screen is too big for the size of your room, and all of a sudden it's like you're getting whiplash watching TV because you're looking, trying, you know, you're moving your head from side to side to watch all the action on the screen. But one thing that's pretty nice with ours is it has the built-in webcam. You know, that you, it's not built-in; it's actually a, it's an addition you add on to it. It has like a USB port. You plug in their cam, and you can use Skype and all those other services, and you know. You talk, like sometimes me and my dad are, we'll get on there and we'll get talking. He's like, you know, 55 inches tall when you're talking to him on the screen. We do that during like, we have Christmas dinner at the house. We have all the family over, so everybody gets to talk with family all over the country. And, you know, we all connect to Skype on there. That's kind of neat. Or when you're playing like the Xbox games that connect to the, to their camera there, the Kinect camera. And it's just, I mean, if you're not doing that kind of stuff, then I can understand not where you wouldn't have any interest. But it is definitely, and plus, there is one other reason to get it, is that it uses significantly less power than the CRTs did.